in April of 1967, I was a captain in the United States Navy, Judge Advocate General's Corps, and was on duty in the office of the Judge Advocate General. In that month of April 67, I was transferred to a new duty station as the staff legal officer for the commander-in-chief of the naval forces Europe, Cincus Major, at their headquarters in London, England. Mrs. Starring and I made our transfer to London aboard the SS United States, I think, and I believe that on that same voyage, Admiral John Sidney McCain Jr. and his wife were also transferred to London, where he was was appointed as the new Cincus Major at London. I have been on duty as Admiral McCain's staff legal officer with one assistant, Jack Corps Commander Jack O'Donnell, for 2 months at the time I became aware that the USS Liberty had been attacked in the Mediterranean. I did not have any connection with the processing of that case so far as the appointment of an investigative body was concerned. I do not know exactly who was the appointing authority, although I would presume that it might have been Admiral McCain himself, although I would have thought that I would have known about that had it been so. I know that the Court of Inquiry was convened, that it was held aboard the USS Liberty at Malta, and perhaps at the shoreside facilities in Malta. I'm not sure of that at this point. But shortly, within, 10 days, approximately, of the episode, the president of the Court of Inquiry, who was Admiral Ike Kidd, who I believe had been brought to the Mediterranean from Norfolk for that purpose, I'm not positive of that either, the president of the Board of Inquiry and his appointed counsel for the Board of Inquiry, who was a Captain Ward Boston. Ward Boston had been the staff judge advocate for the commander of Fleet Air Mediterranean base at Naples, and he obviously had been pulled from that position to be the counsel to Admiral Kidd and his Court of Inquiry at Malta. In any event, Admiral Kidd and Ward Boston, his lawyer, appeared at the Cincus Major headquarters in London. And Ward Boston, as the lawyer with the Court of Inquiry, appeared at my office with the paper record of the Court of Inquiry proceedings and delivered it to me on behalf, I presumed, of the Commander-in-Chief Naval Forces Europe, Admiral McCain, for my review and processing for Admiral McCain's action and signature. It's my recollection that the record of that Court of Inquiry, which was several inches thick, my recollection is maybe 5 or 6 inches thick, although at this point I'm speaking from personal recollection from 30, 40 years ago. It was a substantial document in any event. And of course, I was aware that it was a priority job, that I was to drop everything until I had accomplished my review and preparation of an action for signature by Admiral McCain. I believe that I received the record at perhaps a mid-afternoon, perhaps 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon of a business day. And I immediately did drop everything else and turn to on my review of that record. I pursued that review until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I was a bit groggy, so I went home and got 3 or 4 hours sleep and came back to the office at perhaps 7 o'clock the following morning or before, and continued to conduct my review. My early examination of the documents, in my examination of the documents, I was seeking first to review the evidence, that is, the testimony or any photographs or whatever other evidence, documentary evidence, was appended to the record, and to examine the court's findings of fact from that evidentiary material. I was concerned at the outset that some of the findings of fact that I had read, and that I was having difficulty finding evidence in the testimony or the record to support. I might mention that cosmetically the record was perhaps less than desirable, because, but I recognized that it had been a priority rapid fire project. That it also had been put together at Malta aboard a very seriously damaged ship, and so on. So that I was not that was not the sort of thing that concerned me. But the substance of the findings of fact, and whether or not those findings of fact were supported by evidence that had been taken by the Court of Inquiry, was what was concerning me. And I felt that I had a problem here. In any event, on the second day that I had the record in my possession, I had proceeded from early in the morning until about mid-forenoon, perhaps, with my review, seeking to make notes and to prepare myself to prepare an endorsement that I could recommend, an action and an endorsement that I could recommend to Admiral McCain for his signature. I was a long way from completing that review. I was perhaps not more than a third or a halfway through the record at the time when, in mid-morning, Captain Boston appeared again in my office and inquired where my review stood and how soon I would have it ready. And so I told him, I said, "Ward, I have some real problems with this. It's not something that I can toss off, and I have, I'm only partway through it. And I'm not sure how long it's going to take me. I can't give you a time at the moment, but I'm proceeding as though it's my full project at the moment." So Ward Boston left my office with that word. And it is my present recollection that he returned to my office within the space of perhaps a half an hour or an hour, and told me that he had come at the Admiral's direction to pick up the record from me and to take it back down to Admiral McCain's office. I had no basis for declining to give it to him, and so I did return the record to him as it had come to me from him. I had not even started to prepare an action or an endorsement that I could recommend to Admiral McCain for his adoption and signature. The record never was sent back to me as Admiral McCain's legal officer. I never saw it again, as a matter of fact. I became aware that Admiral Kidd had returned to the United States from London, I presumed carrying that record. I have never seen, and have not to this day seen, whatever endorsement or action Admiral McCain might have signed and sent forward with that record to the Navy Department. I was aware that any such investigative document, particularly an important document such as a court of inquiry of an episode such as the Liberty episode, would ultimately come to file for both review and safekeeping with the Judge Advocate General, who was my ultimate superior. And I felt that I needed to tell the Judge Advocate General, who was at that time Rear Admiral Wilfred Hearn, JAG Corps, that while that record of that court of inquiry had been submitted to me as Admiral McCain's staff judge advocate and legal officer for my review, that I had not had an opportunity to complete that review, that I had had real problems with it, with the quality and the sustainability of the conclusions of the Court of Inquiry. But I had not been able to reach any final conclusions about whether this could be approved or not approved. But I wanted the Judge Advocate General to know that whatever project, whatever product came back out of our headquarters at Cinco Major to the department have not been my work product or have not been the result of my complete legal review. I've never seen the record since that time. About a year later, I think it was in June of 1968, I was recalled to Washington and became special counsel to the Secretary of the Navy. After approximately 3 years, 4 years in that position, I became Deputy Judge Advocate General of the Navy in 1971, and then a year later, in 1972, became the Judge Advocate General of the Navy. I retired from active duty, my Navy active duty, from that position as Judge Advocate General in February of 1975. I should perhaps mention that when the record of the Court of Inquiry was delivered to me for review, I was not given any specific deadline for the production of my completion of my review or the production of an endorsement or an action for the Admiral's consideration. When I was asked the following morning about my progress, I told Captain Boston that I had some real concerns about the evidentiary support for some of the findings of fact, but I also told them I had not yet been able to complete my review of all of the records, therefore perhaps it was there. It was at that point that he departed and then came back up, and without any further conversation, just stated that he was, had been sent up to bring the record back down to Admiral McCain's office. I do not know how long it would have taken me to complete that review to my satisfaction, but I would think that perhaps another day or so I would have been able to do it. I have handled many reviews of both court-martial cases and investigations, some of which were extremely urgent, and I have perhaps many hundreds of investigative reviews at that time, and never in my experience was I, as a lawyer, denied the amount of time that I needed in order to come up with what I consider to be a professional and sound legal recommendation.